Gotham Sports Network presents NYG Weekly.
NYG Actually Weekly, Ethan and Nick, no Weiss here with you. Before we get into it, you know what we got to do? We got to take care of the housekeeping. First things first, follow us on Twitter. Follow me at EthanGSN. Follow Weiss at NYG Daily. Follow Nick at Nick Zeraris. Subscribe. We're everywhere. iTunes, Audio Boom, Google Play, Stitch Radio, Spotify. Subscribe, unsubscribe, resubscribe, rate us 5 stars. Leave us a kind review. And much like week 2 of previous seasons, this one's over and we're back to talk about it. So, no Weiss today, got called in for a work-related emergency. So you just got me and Nick today. So Nick, how are you?
I was having a lot of fun yesterday for a little while. My fantasy teams all kind of pulled games out of their asses where I'm in really good shape going into tonight. So that's great. But as far as the Giants are concerned, man, I texted my friends in the group chat, the Duggan tweet, the we probably don't have a kicker today, at 11:55.
Yep. And
didn't even realize the Giants had a guy on the a kicker on the practice squad they could have elevated. I didn't even realize that. I just assumed we were doing Jamie Gillen on kickoffs and we weren't going to have field goals today. But lo and behold, they did it again. This is 2 years in a row. They have mismanaged the kicker who they knew was injured, and Dable can say, oh, it's a different injury. If your kicker is dealing with a lower body injury, he should not be out there.
Correct. This is okay. So every time a player comes back from a torn ACL, every single Twitter doctor on the face of the earth comes out and says at risk of injury for hamstring, for quad, all these other muscles that they're using to compensate for the lack of strength in whatever leg or ligament that they had previously torn. You knew the guy was banged up all week. You had the contingency plan in place and you didn't implement it. Nick, bang on. They did it last year as well. They did it last week with Gunnar Olszewski and the return game situation with Darius Slayton back there. And they were not even fielding a full 53. So they could have called up these guys in case of emergency. And it's especially disappointing. People who listen to the podcast, no, I won't speak for Nick, although I assume we're on the same page. Like, we are fans of Joe Shane. We are fans of Brian Dable. We want this to work out. There have been some egregious decisions. And as I was singing Mickey Mouse Clubhouse before we clicked record, some Mickey Mouse House decisions that this regime has made that make absolutely no sense. And in a game where even if you are a good team, sometimes the margins are incredibly small week in and week out, especially if you are a team without a quarterback, with an incredibly young secondary against a division rival with a rookie quarterback, all these things, the spread, you were an underdog. You were +1.5 on the road in a game that you very, very likely, I don't want to say definitely, but very, very likely would have won had you had managed the kicker position properly. And I'll just say this because I tweeted this in our group chat yesterday, Nick. Everyone knows that I'm a huge fan of Graham Gano. The greatest kicker in Giants history. Go debate your grandma. It frustrates me. It's like you look around the league every week and, okay, I'm watching the Sunday night game and I'm watching CJ Stroud just pull shit out of his ass. And I'm like, when is it my turn? When is it my turn to watch that? And then every single time there's a fourth down beyond the 40-yard line for the Houston Texans, Kaime Fairbairn just bang, 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 50 plus every time, automatic, zero issues. Every team in the NFL over the last decade, apparently except for the Giants, has managed to find a 5'9 white guy who weighs 175 pounds soaking wet, who used to play soccer in some fourth tier league, that they've managed to just coach up and teach how to kick field goals, except for the Giants, who are anchored to a 37-year-old with an injury history. It blows my mind. Just why us? Like, I'm just sitting here asking why us? There are so many other important things that we need to touch on. The quarterback, Malik Nabers, both of his incredible performance and his drop. Drew Phillips, his incredible performance, the lack of a pet. Like, there are so many things to talk about, and we've been recording for 5-6 minutes already, and the only thing that we've spoken about is mismanagement of the kicker position. I mean, you lost to probably, I don't know if they're technically the worst defense in the NFL, but they're up there against a rookie quarterback whose average depth of target last week, and I think even this week, was like 3 yards, because Cliff Kingsbury is I don't understand how he coaches football. Just everything's behind the line of scrimmage or at the line of scrimmage, and it makes no sense. Like, we're talking about kickers. We're talking about kickers.
And the one thing I want to build off of that, and I know I've seen a lot of people say this over the last day and a half of, oh, but if they have the practice squad kicker up there, they don't go for those fourth downs and they probably still lose the game anyway. The point is, when you have X number of roster spots to dress for a game day and you are consciously not using all of them, you are putting yourself in a bad position. It is not just about the flow of the game. Yeah, you're probably right. They probably do take field goals and maybe they aren't in a position to come down and win the game at the end. But the game takes a different shape if you can actually kick field goals. You might choose to be more or less aggressive in different stages. It's not just about...
And I still think they go for that fourth down.
Because they should have.
I think, who did they have last year with the Gano injury? Was it Cade York?
They had, at various points, they had Mason Crosby. They had Randy Bullock.
Right. I mean, they would, like, again, like, as a coach, you just like, okay, like, I'm not letting the practice squad guy kick a 47-yarder. I'm going for it. You know what I mean? So, like, this is maybe just my lack of, you know, actual football experience, like how Jamie Gillen can not be able to do kickoffs really well or even hit extra points when you're a punter. That's perplexing to me. And what's even more perplexing to me is if you had such a lack of confidence in him to let him even attempt that first one. Like, in theory, if the 2-point conversion is, it's not a 50-50 play, it's like 45-47%, whatever it is. And the argument is you get it once every 2 times you go for it, you get one, or you're supposed to get one. That you had 3 opportunities, you scored 3 touchdowns. Why even let him kick that extra point? Just go for it. Like, as soon as Gano went down, I'm going for everything if there's no backup plan. So I don't even understand why he was allowed to.
That's what the Steelers did last week when their punter got hurt. Yeah. They said, all right, we can't punt. We got to go. That is one of those things where even us as schmucks who are not professional football coaches, we can use a modicum of common sense and say, we can't have somebody who doesn't do this professionally do this in a professional football game. It's that simple.
Yeah.
It's the same thing with the returner last week where Slayton putting his back to the kicking team, trying to field a punt. It is just mind-bogglingly stupid. And it's unfortunate because the Giants, as ugly as that game was, they didn't play terribly. You know, Neighbors made some splashy plays. Singletary, other than the fumble, had a nice game. I thought the defense was pretty bleh, but Drew Phillips made some nice plays. Banks did a nice job on McLaurin. Yesterday, if you can't even win that game, this is going to be a really rough season. Because that game was sitting there waiting to be won.
It's going to be a rough one. We already know. I mean, my hope going into this was, hey, like, be average. Like, just be average. Be mediocre, middle of the pack. Like, show that, hey, everything is there except a quarterback. And to some extent, they're still successful in that. We'll talk about the offensive line and everything else. But, I mean, it's bad. And it has the potential to get worse. And, it's fucking week 2. We're talking about this already. But, like...
We're not doing Quinn Ewers today. Call back tomorrow.
No. We're not doing Quinn Ewers. Although, I will just say, the one and only time on this podcast, this quarterback class stinks. Like, everyone going into the season was like, this quarterback class stinks. And then as soon as week 1 happened, everyone's like, trying to force themselves to like find guys. They're like, no, this quarterback class just stinks. Stop. If things keep going this way, we will be talking about Brian Daboll on the hot seat. I'm saying that as a matter of fact. Like, these were the 2 winnable games before a tough stretch. Okay, they start 2-0. Maybe they're 2-5, but like, there's some winnable games late in the season. We're talking again for like the 3rd or 4th regime that we've been doing this podcast for, that if things get ugly, and they have the potential to get really ugly, especially because the Giants haven't suffered any catastrophic injuries to their top guys yet, like this has the potential to go to head coach changing levels of bad.
It feels like they can't be the worst. They can't, they won't be worse than Carolina, but if they win two or three games, I think they're bullshit out of luck. It's that simple.
Yep.
They have to be middle of the pack if we would like to see another year of Gable and Shane. And that feels...
At this point, I think the bar is so low, it doesn't even have to be middle of the pack. If they can get to like five or six like they did last year, I genuinely believe that they still have enough rope. But like if we're talking two or three wins, there's going to be a change.
The other problem and the fundamental problem is there is no obvious fix for their problem. Their quarterback cannot read a defense. At all.
No, he can't read a defense. He also has got no deep ball. I think he attempted four passes of 15 or more yards. He was 0-for-4. I don't think any of them were even remotely close to the receiver. And the sad thing was, like, he wasn't the problem. Like, he wasn't the solution yesterday, but he wasn't the problem. I mean, how many yards did he throw for?
Like 186.
And I think 100.
Oh, excuse me, 178.
So 178, and I believe 150 and change of those were yards after catch yards.
Yes.
So basically, hey, Malik, go do your thing. So he wasn't good yesterday. I'm not going to fault him for the loss. That lies squarely on the coaching and the defense, which we'll get into. But like again, just to like put into context how ridiculous this season has been already through 2 weeks, the Giants became the first team in NFL history to score 3+ touchdowns, allow no touchdowns, and lose in regulation. Like that's the level of clown show that we're dealing with right now. I didn't think it could get worse in the Gettleman Judge years. And, you know, we're pulling these stats out after week two.
And the thing that's even worse is there's talent on this roster.
There's a lot of talent.
The last year of Judge, hell, the second year, they didn't have talent like this. They didn't have anybody as good as Neighbors. No, Andrew Thomas wasn't this good. The offensive line, which has been good for 2 weeks, hasn't been this good. Dax wasn't this guy. You have Burns. You have Kayvon. There is talent on this team.
And that's the most frustrating part, at least for me, about the offensive line, because I was banging the drum that they'd be good this year. Like I truly believed that the getting rid of Bobby Johnson, who him and Dable were being buddy-buddy at the game yesterday, was going to make such a large difference, and it has. So our good friend Monty posted the week two pressure stats. Andrew Thomas allowed one pressure, one sack. John Runyon, zero pressures. JMS, two pressures, one quarterback hit and one hurry. GVR, who we knew wasn't going to be great, but should be like hopefully replacement level, two pressures, which were two hurries, and Illuminor, two pressures, which resulted in two quarterback hits. So one sack surrendered, credited to the offensive line, as opposed to last week where most of them were credited to Jones. Like, this is a good unit, man. And Devin Singletary, outside of that fumble yesterday, which did cost them, he looked great. He rushed for over 90 yards, I think it was 95 yards. He averaged over 5 yards per carry. Like he was tremendous yesterday. Like that's the kind of guy that like that's all you need behind a top 15 offensive line in this league to have a good run game. So, I mean, the offensive line was good. Devin Singletary was good. Daniel Jones was as sufficient as he could be.
He was passable. They could win if he plays.
They should have won yesterday.
Yeah, that's the thing. That game was winnable. It was there to be won. And it sucks that it came down to the one play Neighbors couldn't make all day because he saved their ass all day.
And catches 127 yards. I think he's top five in the NFL in receiving yards after week two. The kids, he had a touchdown. The kid's a stud. He's the real deal. Let's talk. I'm trying to think offensive wise. Like they truly weren't that bad yesterday. Like again, like we're talking about good and bad on a heavily graded scale here. Like, for what we know the quarterback's capabilities are, the offense was good yesterday. One guy who's been a topic of conversation, at least for me, that we need to talk about is where is Biletnikoff winner Jalin Hyatt?
This offense does not complement his skill set.
It doesn't. And that's the point that I want to talk about. So what I don't understand, and again, this goes back to the conversation we have about Joe Shane and process, like. And I think it really comes down to the arrogance that Shane and Daboll showed running it back after the playoff year and the Jones extension. Because I like, if you think about all these moves in context, like they genuinely thought they had their quarterback. Like, all right, this guy can, he's a go guy. We're going to throw deep. He's fast. Daniel Jones can throw deep. The deep ball's not that bad. And now Daniel Jones can't throw deep. And apparently Jalen Hyatt's route tree hasn't developed enough to play him in despite that. So two bad things right there. And then you throw the cherry on top being that they publicly admitted, I believe, that they would have traded up to the second round to get him instead of trading up in the third round had JMS not been there. It's like, great, you were going to burn a second round pick on a guy who can't get into a game in his sophomore season, despite all the great things we heard about him coming out of camp.
And it's not like they have a murderer's row of guys either. It's not like he's trying to squeeze.
Has to beat out Darius Slayton.
And he can't. And look, the argument for Hyatt was always that Dable wanted his Gabe Davis. He wanted his over the top go ball guy. Yeah. And they could work stuff under the field. And he's there to kind of keep the secondary honest. And in theory, I get what they wanted to do. You have him, you have Wandale. They got their alpha number one guy. And Neighbors is that guy. He is very good. But the problem for the Giants, and some of it is personnel, that they would rather have an extra tight end on the field for blocking as opposed to having a third receiver. That's part of why Hyatt hasn't been on the field. Another reason, the quarterback's not taking shots. You said it before. I think he only had 4 pass attempts over 15 yards. If they're not going to take shots because either they don't trust him to or they don't trust the pocket to maintain, there isn't a spot on this team for Hyatt. If you remember that Tennessee team 2 years ago, it was spread it out. It was 4 receivers on the field. It was a lot of RPOs, and it was Hendon Hooker throwing it as far and as hard as he possibly could, and Hyatt outrunning guys. In the NFL, it's not going to work because he can't get off the line. I know everybody saw the clip of Xavier Worthy in camp with the Chiefs where he tried to get a free release and he just got blocked into the ground. That's what's going to happen to Hyatt when he goes out there against real NFL defensive backs, because he can't get off the line of scrimmage because he's small and because he's fast. I know Weiss keeps talking about that clip of Hyatt talking to the Cowboys. What's your skill set?
I retweeted that yesterday.
Yeah, it's a valid criticism that they did not really. I get it from the mindset of they thought they had their quarterback, but they got to find ways to get him the ball. At least I will say this. My biggest complaint week one was they didn't find a way to get Neighbors involved as much. Thankfully, this week they were able to do that. I'm not asking them to go out of their way to get plays for Jalen Hyatt. But if he's on, if you're going to use a third round pick on him, a second round pick on him, he's got to play. He's got to play. It's that straightforward. You can't draft guys that high and not give them run.
You are correct. Drew Phillips, third round guy.
He was hitting.
He was hitting. Let's talk about the defense.
The pass rush is terrible.
It is terrible.
Washington's offensive line is horrendous.
They're horrendous.
And we got no heat.
I would like to admit something.
Okay.
I was wrong about this defense. Kudos to me for admitting that. And Duggan was taking like a mini victory lap yesterday, which I would have done the same thing. I'd like taking little victory laps, but he, for a lot of the summer, was pointing out the insufficient run stopping next to Dexter Lawrence on the interior of the line. And I thought that concern was maybe a little overrated. You know, Dex himself is getting double teamed, sometimes triple teamed. Micah and Okereke are like, you know, they could fill the gaps. They're great. I was wrong. They are getting gashed on the ground. It feels very, very passive. The pass rush is non-existent. I keep going back to my comparison last year. I genuinely now believe that Kayvon Thibodeau is just Olivier Vernon with bling, with just more swag. Like, the guy beat up on backups and in garbage time last year to stat pad. This year, he's been non-existent. He's already being rude to Jordan Ronan in the locker room. I don't care that they made up. Like, you know, to whiff on your first draft as GM to whiff on the 5th and 7th overall pick. Again, like, this goes back to the same fucking argument about process versus results. Like, if you were to transport me back in time and tell me that the consensus number one tackle and number one edge available for the Giants to draft would both stink, and not even just stink, like one of them to be like mediocre and one of them to be literally unplayable, and that Joe Shane was drafting these guys, I would have called you crazy. And that's where we're at. Like, Kayvon Thibodeau is a mediocre defensive end.
He has one move and he can't bend at all.
Correct.
He is always, he's always upright. He's always off balance and he gets pushed back. You know, Washington's offensive line is not good. They went out of their way to get the ball out of Daniel's hands as fast as possible yesterday because they knew he wasn't going to be able to stand back there. The defensive backs did a reasonable job. The Giants played pretty good no doubles defense yesterday. They didn't get beat over the top, really. They didn't really give up a lot of explosive plays. The defense played well enough. It's just when you can't get pressure, when you need a stop. That's the other thing. The Giants on third down, man, they couldn't get off the field yesterday.
No, I mean, third and long was a disaster.
Washington had that one drive. That was like the whole first quarter. The one drive Washington had. There were 5 minutes to go in the first quarter by the time the Giants finally got the ball.
Dominated time of possession, converting on third and long.
I forgot who said it yesterday, but it was very reminiscent of 3 years ago yesterday where they kept them on the field. They weren't giving up big plays. It was the nickel and dime stuff, the Patrick Graham year.
The Patrick Graham defense, yes.
Yeah, they stayed on the field the entire game. The defense was exhausted by the end of the game. And we said this last week, but anytime Dex is on the field, it's 9 yards a carry up the middle, minimum 9 yards a carry. And the thing that's mind blowing is there's talent here. Okereke is one of the best tackling linebackers in the sport. Dex is the best defensive tackle in the sport.
Yes.
Burns and Thibodeau have both flirted with 10 to 15 sack seasons. In the case of Burns, Thibodeau had 8.5, 9 last year. This team has talent. Why is it not executing? Why are they being so conservative defensively? Why aren't we getting heat? You know, I understand the Shane Bowen mindset is we're going to get heat with what we send and we're going to play coverage. But at some point, if we're not getting heat, you got to send an extra guy. You got
especially against a rookie who's just not, he's not allowed to throw deep.
No. And like you saw it last week. He ran every single time there was any bit of pressure on him against Tampa Bay.
And again, like there's something to be said for the fact that Shane Bowen, it took them like weeks to agree to terms with him. Like he was not their first option. He wasn't even probably their second option.
I think what happened in that case, and I think this is the case, I think a lot of people looked at it as this coach is on thin ice and I take this job. I might only get 1 year at this and I'm back to the drawing board. Same reason they stuck with Kafka and then took away the play calling.
Right.
It is a difficult situation to walk into as a coordinator on a team that's got some expectations, even though you haven't had really anything to prove deserving of those expectations other than improving the roster. It's weird, man, because the talent is here. The Giants are not as bad as they played the first 2 weeks.
No, and the secondary looked good yesterday.
Yeah.
Talked about Drew Phillips, like absolutely dominant for a rookie. Him and Newbin looked genuinely good.
Yeah.
It's like, it's weird that like they're showing their impact almost immediately. Like Tay Banks has taken a small step. Like he's good.
He looked good yesterday.
But just the guys from the first few classes, man, it's bad. It's bad. And you're supposed to be patient and like let it play out. And I think we've been more than patient. The results for these drafts just aren't there.
The other problem, and I hate to be that guy, is schedule's not getting easier, man. We're going to play Cleveland and then we're going to play Dallas. That's if you're sitting at 0-4 after a month. It's going to start to get ugly around
you. It's going
to
snowball, dude, especially. Yeah. I mean, you know, the New York media is ruthless. You had Pat Leonard asking Dable about job security after week two. I mean, week one, they're already asking him about benching the quarterback again. Like that's Mike Vrabel is sitting at home licking his chops right now. I mean, this man is probably eyeing this job.
All right. I want to ask you about this because you and Weiss were arguing about this in the group chat last night. I know Weiss isn't here, but we'll talk about this when he's here. But are you really worried about Belichick?
Yes.
Okay. Explain why you're worried about it, because you seem to be taking this more seriously than most people.
Because I genuinely think that Dable's on the hot seat. Like if they win 2 games, 3 games, I'll even say 4 games. If they can't get to like this, to where they were last year with Tommy DeVito, someone's getting fired. Like they are. I think that that's a fact that most people would agree with. You can't get rid of Shane after 3 years when you gave Gettleman 4. You can't. And everything that we've heard about the Daniel Jones contract is that Shane and Dable were on board, but I think you'd be a fool if you didn't think that John Mara wasn't ecstatic about that decision. And I think because they were all on the same page, that gives Joe Shane, you know, a little bit longer leash. They've been burned by multiple first-time NFL head coaches over the last 10 years. They're going to want a guy with experience. And Weiss's whole thing was, oh, they're getting sued because of the Brian Flores thing, the lawsuit with the misstep. That, who cares? Like, that's stupid. No one actually cares about that. And then Weiss's was citing some article by who?
Oh, I don't know.
It was the New York Post or the New York Daily News.
Yeah.
About, like, an unnamed source saying that how, like, Bill Belichick, you know, wants a more stable situation. But I don't think any of that matters, man. Like, when we're talking about the emotional standpoint, about how fondly Belichick thinks of his time here, and I think Mara would be like, go get him. Go get him. I mean, would Shane push back? Absolutely. Is Belichick a good coach? Still, I think the jury's out. Like, he had the greatest of all time quarterback. After that, everything sort of went downhill between the coaching as well as because he was GM over there as well. The drafting was maybe worse than Gettleman's. It's like, I don't know. That's just my fear. You know, like, if you were to tell me right now, end of the season, they fire Dable and they bring in Mike Vrabel. Okay, fine.
Like, you can sell me on that. That's the difference.
Very easily be sold on that. But
at the very least, Vrabel will have you competitive and you won't be a soft team. And that's something that has annoyed me about the Giants for a while, is anytime they're in one of these rock fight games, the other team always outfights them. That was a game yesterday they could have won if they just had anybody who could make a play on defense. And you look at some of the teams Vrabel had, they weren't that talented on defense in Tennessee. No. But he got them playing physical and intense defense.
Yeah, I hate that we're even talking about this right now. And, well, we should probably move on. But the one thing I'll say to add to your points about Vrabel, Kayvon is 23, 24 years old, I think. Burns is 25. Dex is 26. Micah McFadden is like 24, 25, I think. The entire secondary is young. Like, yeah, you could very easily sell me on that guy developing all these young pieces into, like, a very, very strong defense and just figure out the offense at some point. So
that's the reason we have to do this is because the Giants' problems aren't one offseason fixable right now.
No.
They don't have a functional quarterback. There isn't one available in the draft. And unless you want to go,
do you believe that too? Like, are you and I on the same page? Because I get so much pushback on Twitter all the time.
I'm,
like,
not very high on any of these guys.
There's no clear, concise, like, number one. Like, if you were to put, like, with Cam Ward, Ewers,
Shador,
like, dude, like, if Shador was in this class,
Beck, and none Beck, of them,
no, dude, like, these are guys that are, like,
in no my Dart, mind, no Miller Moss, none of those guys entice me.
No, dude, like, these are, like, they go in, like, the back end of the first, second round. Like, this is like Bo Nix territory.
Yes. Hey, man, Daniel Jones stinks. Bo Nix might be the worst quarterback I've ever seen.
I cannot believe two things. I cannot believe that Sean Payton wanted this guy. I also cannot believe that there were people just freaking the fuck out after the Giants draft, being like, well, they didn't take a quarterback. It's like, okay, you wanted 27-year-old, you know, knee surgery, quadruple bypass Michael Penix, or you wanted Bo Pix. Like, come on, be serious for real. Like, one time, be serious. Like, this is who we're upset that Joe Shane passed on. I mean, come on. And, like, this is like that. This is like the group that I put these kind of guys in. And I'm I'm sold on Arch. I'm sold on Arch. I'm not necessarily sold on waiting and doing the whole rigmarole and having Uncle Eli and Grandpa Archie and the whole cabal of Mannings, like, orchestrating him coming to the New York Giants. But I see why the hype is there.
He's a good athlete. He's got a big arm.
He's an athlete. He's a Cooper athlete.
Yeah, he needs to polish a little bit more. He needs to play against real opponents in intense environments.
Sure, but for him, what is he, a sophomore?
He's a redshirt freshman, but he's sophomore age-wise. He's 19.
Right, so for him to just come in with no notice and tear it up like that, come on. Like, I get it. You want to see him against Bama, sure. But who are they playing, UTSA?
Yeah.
Yeah, fine. Like, you expect him to, like, go in there and have a good game. He had an excellent game.
Yeah.
So, good for him.
I don't see it with any of the quarterbacks. I agree with you, 100%. No. And the last thing I want to get in on this while we're talking about this, the answer's sitting there. You're going to have to eat shit with a Sam Darnold, an Andy Dalton, a Jimmy Garoppolo for a year or two. And it's not going to be fun, but you'll have money because you won't have to spend it on a guy. And you can be competitive. That's the thing, man. If you have the right scheme, Kevin O'Connell got Sam Darnold cooking up there right now. And Sam Darnold, we saw a lot of Sam Darnold, whether it was with the Jets or with the Panthers. He was hot ass. He has been reasonably effective with one wide receiver. And then Justin Jefferson got knocked out of the game yesterday, and they still were able to put the game away. Yeah. With no Hockenson, no Addison, no Jefferson, Darnold and Aaron Jones put that game away.
Right, yeah.
Yeah. If you got the right coach, you can get by with the game manager. And right now, they don't even have a game manager.
Yeah. Yeah, it's bad. And it could go from bad to worse.
Oh, God, man.
Go ahead.
I was going to ask. So, like, if we're sitting at 1-8, do you think, like, Dable's out of here by Thanksgiving? Like,
I don't know, man. I don't know.
Because, like, you feel pretty strong about the hot seat.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think. I don't know. I don't know. I really don't. I you're asking me right now. I say they let him finish the year.
Okay.
But it's so in the realm of possibility. It really is. Like, I'm knocking on wood right now. Like, Andrew Thomas is healthy right now. What if he wasn't?
Yeah.
Dexter Lawrence is healthy right now. What if he wasn't? Malik Nabers is healthy right now. We were very close to what if he wasn't, and he still played and tore it up. What if he wasn't? Like, they've actually been remarkably healthy this season. So, you know, you throw a couple injuries into the mix here, it could get so ugly. And,
I'm
not going to the Cowboys game because I'm not subjecting myself to that on a Monday night or a Sunday night?
I think it's Monday night.
Like, I'm on a work night where I'm going to be in the car for a total of 4 fucking hours probably. And I'm like, I'm so confident they're going to beat Washington. I'm going to wait until after the game to list my tickets in hopes that I can at least get my money back. Didn't do it. And now here I am. I listed the parking pass. If anyone needs parking for the game, let me know. I'll gladly just delist it and sell it to you. If you want tickets to the Cowboys game and I can get close to my value back, hit me up. Slide in my DMs. If you want to subject yourself to newly contracted Dak Prescott just fucking pumping it down your ass for 60 minutes, God bless you. I'll give you my tickets.
That has the potential to get very ugly because the Cowboys will just nickel and dime their way up the field 6 yards of play. And the Giants are going to keep doing no doubles, but you hit 5 doubles in a row, you're going to start scoring some runs. And that's kind of the issue right now.
Yeah.
How the fuck do we get here, Ethan? We're 2 weeks into the goddamn season.
Expect us to be here. I really didn't. Like, they won 6 games with Tommy DeVito and Tyrod Taylor last year.
And would you take Tyrod right now?
Yeah, 100% I would take Tyrod right now.
What's the cutoff right now for who you would take right now before Daniel Jones? Like,
of starters or what? Because there are some backups I'd take just right now.
You're taking Andy Dalton over Daniel Jones?
Ooh, no.
You're not taking anyone on the Dolphins?
No.
Would you take Brissett?
Ty goes to the runner, so Daniel Jones.
You're not going to... You're obviously going to take Josh Allen. You're not going to... You'll take Dak. You'll take... Jalen, who's the Eagles backup? Isn't it it's the Hawaiian guy. It's not Mariota anymore. Mariota's in Washington. Would you take Mariota?
Mariota's hurt right now. I believe he's on injured reserve.
Yes. If Mariota was healthy, would you take Mariota?
Maybe. Yeah.
Would you take Jimmy G if he was healthy?
Yes.
Would you take Carson Wentz if he was healthy?
No, I don't think so.
Would you take Garrett Gilbert?
Oh, my goodness.
Would you take Colt McCoy out of the CBS sports booth?
No.
It's really
good. They could have had Jameis. Like,
we should have Jameis.
Yeah.
Like, if the team was going to be ass, at least let's be competitive while we're trying to be ass.
And fun.
Yeah, man. Jameis or Tyrod would have been fine.
Bro, if Jameis was the quarterback right now, Jalen Hyatt would be at like 80% of snaps.
The Giants would be 2-0 if Jameis was the quarterback.
I think you're correct.
The Vikings were, they beat the shit out of us 2 weeks ago, but they didn't play that well. The Giants were just uncompetitive. Yeah, man. Yeah. This is such a bad feeling. I don't know what's, all right, let me ask you this as our last question and we can get out of here. What's worse, having the dead end head coach or the dead end quarterback?
Coach.
Yeah.
I think easily coach.
Okay.
Because at least with the quarterback, I don't know. That's a good question.
Because like I still think it's
easily coach.
Because we sit here and we're all in agreement that like a medium talent quarterback, you know, anybody who's moderately competent, they could at least be 1-1, if not 2-0.
Yeah, but we've known since the summer that this is going to be his last year. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I think there's just more hope with the dead end quarterback.
Because eventually it's easier to get rid of a quarterback than a coach with that logic. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so.
Okay. So if you had to sign up for one more year of Daniel Jones or one more year of Joe Judge, which one would you take? If I could give you Joe Judge with like Sam Darnold and a decent offensive coordinator, or Dan Jones with Brian Daboll and whatever they're running on offense right now. What do you got?
Well, here's the thing, because again, it's just not a simple answer. Like, I think Joe Judge with Sam Darnold gets me Arch Manning, so I'm gonna say that.
But that's 2 years from now. You can't do that right now. Right now, it's gonna be rough because it's the noise after the draft.
You said one more year, so
yeah, one more year.
So next season,
yeah,
one more year. Judge and Darnold gets me
to Arch.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, you're right. You're
26 eligible.
It's grim, man. It's going to be worse this year because the quarterback class isn't good. So we're going to all spend the next 5 months with everyone trying to talk themselves into these guys. None of them are that good.
Kudos to me for not doing it. I'm like the king of this class sucks. I'm going to tell everyone that I will listen to me. This class sucks.
Last year, it took a little while for it to come together. But May was very obviously going to be up there, and Caleb very obviously was going to be up there. Daniels kind of came out of nowhere as far as NFL interest, but
yeah, but you saw it from like
you saw glimmers.
You were like, oh shit, this guy's got it.
He's a freak athlete and a reasonable enough arm. He should be decent.
He had one of the best deep balls in college last year. Yeah. That's the part that came out of nowhere. It was, you know, he didn't have that at Arizona State. It was when he finally just took the reins at LSU. He was bombing balls to everyone.
Brandon Ayuk, college teammate. Very funny that Jane Daniels played in college with Brandon Ayuk.
He's old.
Yeah. Football's in a weird spot. The Giants are ass. This is tough.
Yeah, dude. Offense around the league is terrible.
Defense is back. Hey, if the Giants can run the ball as well as they did, we'll hang around. I don't think we're going to win a lot of games, but they we'll be in these games.
I got to start Devin Singletary over injured Pacheco in fantasy moving forward, so they better.
Hey, Singletary was good upside in fantasy because he's going to get a ton of volume because Tracy.
I also had him in Dynasty last year and he was like very good for Houston.
Yeah.
So I'm like, okay, well, listen, if he's going to get all the carries over Gray and Tracy, then I'll take him.
He's not a bad running back. He just fumbles a lot. That's his only problem. But all right, get us out of here.
All right. Follow us on Twitter. Ethan GSN, NYG Daily, Nick Zeraris. Subscribe. That's it, guys. I can't tell you it gets better because every time I have, it's gotten worse. So I'm just going to tell you to hang in there. And you guys better be thankful that we've actually committed to doing this weekly. And we'll talk to you after the Cleveland game.
Peace.